I want to invite you to join us here at One Evergreen Terrace in Uniontown. It's been exciting to see the auditorium full each Sunday, visitors attending each week, and we're seeing people saved just about every Sunday. Our bus routes, they come in each morning full of people ready to attend church and serve the Lord and worship Him. And we had a great day this week out going soul winning, knocking on doors down in Connellsville. We saw 15 precious souls receive Christ as their Savior. Today, we begin our six-week fall program. We're very excited about that. Then coming up on the 16th and the 17th this month, we'll be having our annual ladies' conference with Mrs. April Getch as our guest speaker. On November 1st through the 3rd, we'll be having our annual missions conference, and later in the month, we'll be serving folks that ride our buses a Thanksgiving dinner on a Saturday. It'll be an all-day event, run our buses that morning, Saturday, and take folks home again. Then on the next Sunday morning, we're running the buses once again to bring them back for church. Busy, that's the word. We're here at full speed right now, and it's very exciting what's happening around here. We are trying to keep busy serving the Lord as we see the day approaching for His return. As we look around in the turmoil of this world, we as believers live with the joy and the hope of Christ's return. You know, this past Thursday, we heard a horrible news of 9 murders and 7 people wounded in a community college in Oregon by a gunman that went in there targeting Christians. No one is saying a whole lot about that fact, but our president is blaming guns as the problem. I'll tell you what, I would say that the lack of guns with that lone security officer was a big problem. I'm not surprised that the death of Christians being targeted is not an issue, since we live in very much an anti-Christian government today. They would rather promote the abomination of homosexuality over that of God-fearing people. Christians are being told that, well, we preach hate when we only look to God for clarity and understanding of what the Bible is saying on this issue. And He says that the homosexual lifestyle or sodomy is an abomination and is called unnatural. We live in a twisted day when we promote perversions because, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And that's about how it is today. People don't think of God. Sunday is just another day for people. Everything that young people are involved in today seems to happen on Sundays. It keeps them out of church. Yes, we are to love all people, but we certainly do not have to accept their sinful lifestyles. Oh, that God would give us leaders that fear Him today. I want to go back to where we began last Sunday. We were talking about the end times, and I want to continue on that. It's a lengthy subject, and we're going to be talking about the pre-tribulation rapture today. I have a lengthy passage I want to read to you, but I want you to stay focused and stay with me on this, and we're going to be reading out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and then continuing on into chapter 5. And just to help you understand, the Bible was not originally written with chapters and verses involved in that like we have today. That was designed or set up to help us to read it a little bit easier, but these were actually letters that were written by the Apostle Paul, not all by the Apostle Paul, but some by other authors. But these were men that were moved by God to write the words of God to the Christians in Thessalonica. And they had a great concern about what was happening now. They, of course, understood the teaching and the truth that Jesus was coming back one day to take them home. But then they began to see their loved ones that were also Christians in Christ dying. And they didn't know what was going to happen to them. And so they had a lot of concerns, a lot of questions. And this letter is written to them to help them to understand more clearly the events that will happen in the end days, the end times in which we're living in today, and to give them hope and give them comfort during this period. Let me begin reading for you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And remember, last week we understood that we're asleep means where the body is dead, and for the believer. We go in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is all written to believers again. And when the Bible is talking here about being all children of light, he's talking about saved individuals, not the unsaved. The unsaved are still considered by Christ and biblically as being in darkness still. But we live in the light, and we don't have to do as those in darkness do and live as those in darkness live. The Bible speaks of a time of tribulation coming on the earth, such as the world has never seen. We read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. There will be a time that God judges the sin of this world during a seven-year period called the tribulation. All those who have rejected Christ and this whole world and its rebellion against God will be judged. There, the Antichrist, the beast, will all be judged. Satan will be judged during that time. It's a terrible, horrible event that will take place. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 calls this the day of the Lord. It is described, this day is, in the book of Revelation, as well as in the Old Testament. It tells us about this event, this time that's going to take place. There are four views of the rapture, and some scholars differ on this and their beliefs on this. But I want to share with you very quickly those four things, and maybe you've heard about them before, but I want to bring this to you to bring more clarity on our position here at Bible Baptist Church. First of all, there is something called a partial rapture. I don't hear a whole lot about that, but there's a teaching in this where only the spiritual believers will be raptured out. And we remember from last week's study that rapture is not a Bible term. It's a term that we use. It means to snatch away or to take away. And that's what's going to happen one day when the Lord returns. He'll come in the air in the clouds, and we will rise to meet him. He'll take us off the earth. There will be rapture that will be taking place off the earth. Now, this teaching says that only those who are spiritual will be caught up in this rapture. There's a second idea on this. It's called mid-tribulation. That means here that the believer, all believers, will not leave until halfway through the tribulation period, the 3.5-year mark when the Antichrist is revealed. And then believers will be taken out. The Lord will come back then. Now, there's a third area. It's called post-tribulation. And these are those that believe that the believer, is going to have to go through the entire tribulation and suffer during that time. But then there is a teaching of the pre-tribulation, and that's our stance here. And I believe it's a biblical teaching here that it's all pre-tribulation. What that means is the Lord is going to take us home before he begins judgment upon this world. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he never appointed us or planned for us or will have us go through that period of tribulation because it's not appointed to us. It's not for us. You see, we're not going to be judged or punished for our sins, our disobedience. Those things were already taken care of on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus died, he suffered for all those things on the cross. They've all been paid for. And so we don't have to pay for something that's been paid for already. When the rapture comes, God is going to take his children off this world before he begins judgment upon this world. I want to clarify for you two different things here. It could be confusing if it weren't shared or explained, but there are two things that happen here, or two returns of our Lord, if you would. There is a difference between the Christ coming called the rapture. That is when Jesus comes into the air and we rise up to meet him. At no time does he come back to the earth or set foot on the earth at that moment. But there's another moment. We call it the second coming. Or in some terms, it's called the revelation. When Jesus will come back on the earth, and then he will establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. And that is we describe that as called the millennium. And that's what the word means, 1,000. And so he'll have a millennium reign or a 1,000-year reign at his coming. There are two different things I want to share with you, or a series of things that make the rapture and the revelation very different. The rapture, first of all, that means that the Lord is coming back for his saints. In the revelation, the Lord is coming back with his saints from heaven. In the rapture, the saints will meet him in the air. In the revelation, Jesus Christ manifests himself to mankind. In the rapture, saints go to heaven. In the revelation, saints go to the millennium kingdom here on earth. In the rapture, the world is judged. In the revelation, the world judged and righteousness is established now upon this earth. The rapture is imminent. That means it's impending. It's coming any moment, any time. Revelation, that is preceded by signs, and that takes place, those signs take place during that tribulation period when our Lord is getting ready to come back to set his kingdom up. You know, the Bible teaches that the rapture is pre-tribulation event that includes all believers. It includes all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood," or saved by the blood of Jesus, "we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Because of Jesus, we'll be saved from the wrath to come. Many times people look back at a picture of this event taking place in the flood. If you recall Noah building the ark, those eight souls were saved when they were in the ark and the wrath or judgment came upon the world. In the same sense, the Bible says we will be saved from wrath through him. That means through Jesus Christ, we'll be saved from this wrath. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, we read there, "And await for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Again, it's talking about being taken out before judgment upon this world comes into play. Perhaps the strongest proof of this statement is in the fact that up until chapter 4 in Revelation, the church is mentioned many times. But then from chapter 4 on through chapter 19 in the book of Revelation is a period of tribulation, and there is no mention of the church on earth at this time. It's an interesting study. You may want to look at it in your King James Bibles and see what it has to say there. You know, the first three chapters of Revelation deal with the church. Much talk about that there. In chapters 4 and 5, there's discussion about heaven. It's talking about heaven. And in chapters 6 through 19, it tells us about the tribulation, all the events, the plagues, the vials, all that that will be opened in the judgment that comes in this world. In fact, during this time, the tribulation period, the only group that Satan can find to persecute is the nation of Israel. And he will persecute them throughout the entire world. And he talks about that as a woman fleeing away and the dragon pursuing this woman. And the reason why is throughout the whole world, because the Jewish race has populated every nation of the world. And so Satan will go after them to persecute them during this time. You know, we live in a time right now. We know the Lord is coming back. And we know that because of our faith in the scriptures and in the Word of God. And this is going to be a glorious event. And it's a wonderful time. And I'm so excited for it to happen and to take place. And we're all going to participate in it, whether we die, we'll be caught up with him, or whether we're alive, we'll be caught up with him. So either way, it's going to happen and take place. But there are several things that the believer is instructed to do until that time comes. And there's very important things that we need to do. You know, one of the things I want us to notice in the scriptures is that the believer is to attend the services of the Lord regularly. They need to be in church on a regular basis, not every now and then, not just at Christmas time and Easter time, but on a regular basis. We are told in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And yes, I understand. Yeah, I have people tell me, well, I can read my Bible at home, I can pray at home, I can worship at home, and that's all true. No one's arguing that point at all. And some people just feel like they don't have to be in church. But it's interesting because God knows the need that we have, that we must be in church. It's a place where we are encouraged and we are strengthened. It's a place where we serve. But more than that, we must understand that judgment's coming to the world. We understand that at that time, you know, people will die during that judgment, during that wrath, and they'll go to the eternal hell. And even before that rapture takes place and tribulation comes, people are dying today. All over the world, they're dying. And to be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. But we also look in Luke, and it talks about the rich man. And he was in hell, he looked up, being in torment. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and people will go to one of those two places every day. Today, the obituaries will be read, or this week. Each day, the obituaries are read about people who have died recently just in this area, but all over the world is happening. And just think, if God's people would come together, they'd yoke up together with urgency and realizing that the world is, many people in the world are lost, and they may be your friends, they may be your family, and you may say, these are good people, and I'm not going to disagree or fight with you on that. They may have their religion, their church they attend very faithfully. They may do a lot of selfless deeds for others, and they're just good of character. But the truth of the matter is, many of these people, because they do not understand the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, they've been taught an error. It might be through their good works or through their church or some other way, through baptism, that they could attain eternal life and a home in heaven. But we understand the truth and know the truth, the Bible, and that is one of the great things. Can you imagine if all believers would be in their church, a church like ours, and they'd be coming in, and they'd be part of a program of of going out and reaching the unsaved with the gospel. What an army we would have. What great results we would find in reaching people before the day of wrath comes. Imagine if believers came and they gave the tithe into the church and supported missionaries as they are in different parts of the world. We support them and taking the very gospel of Jesus Christ to a people who have never heard it before and never heard of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. And they're getting saved and churches being established. How many more could we establish? How many more places could we reach if all believers would come together and join in with this? See, it's not a matter of, well, I don't like the personality of this person, or I don't like this or that, or I don't get along with people, or there's hypocrites in the church. But you know what? The whole world is a place of hypocrites. And that's the people that are striving to be something and do something, but they're failing. I don't believe everybody's intentionally trying to hide what they are and change what they are. But you can't use these excuses when we look around us and see a world that's perishing and people, our friends. That's why we need to stay busy till Jesus comes back. But a second thing is, the believer is to observe the Lord's Supper with the rapture in mind. We are told in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." So when we take the Lord's Supper, the bread reminds us of his broken body. The juice reminds us of his shed blood. And we're reminded of the price that Jesus paid so you and I can have a home in heaven and have eternal life. And we're to continue to do these things until Jesus comes. He does not want us to forget. We're forgetful people. People forget times. They forget their keys. They forget their glasses. They forget a lot of things. Forget their children sometimes. Leave them at a store or something. But these events happen, and we are forgetful. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. That is why it's incorporated in the church. And we're supposed to keep in mind that Jesus is coming back. But the third thing is, the believer is to love all believers and all men. Let me read for you in 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." You know, we are supposed to love people. As I said earlier, we can love all people. We don't have to embrace their sin, accept their sin or their lifestyle, if it's against the scriptures, against God, but we can love the person. And we're supposed to grow in that area of love, and that's what Jesus does for us. He shows us how to love, and it grows within our hearts. "To the end," the Bible says, "that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father." You know, it's a sad day that we live in today that people have shunned holiness. They've shunned righteousness, righteous living, embraced too much of this old world and the worldliness and fall in love with something that's not what God wants for the believer. He wants us to live differently. But let me point out two other things. The next is the believer is to be patient. In James chapter 5, verse 8, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Be ye also patient. Patient for what? Patient for our Lord's return. And establish your hearts in faith. In faith. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so the Lord's coming is drawing nigh, so we need to be patient during this time. But the next and last thing I want to share with you, he is to live a separated life. A separated life. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13 tell us, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And that's our hope, the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. We're looking for his return. But until that time, we are being taught that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly, and we should live righteously and godly in this present world. You know, if the people of God would come back to reading the old King James Bible and staying faithful in their study of it and learn what righteousness is and learn what ungodliness is and know the things that please the Lord and displease the Lord in our life and our conduct and how we live. And that's part of gathering together in a church and coming together. The teaching and the preaching of God's word helps us to come to fuller understanding of these things. And the Lord wants a holy people. A holy people. That word is a word that means a separated people. That means a people separated to him. And if we're going to be separated to him, we have to come out from some other things in life. You know, the longer you mingle with the world, the more you're going to desire it. And you'll deny the things of God. In your mind, you'll say, I know I need to get to church. I know I should do these things. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord is coming very soon, and we ought to prepare for him. We ought to prepare our own lives. We ought to be ready for his return. Many people today aren't looking for him. They're not thinking about him. They're caught up with too many things in this world. They're following after, desiring and chasing, and God is not in their thoughts. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it tells us, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, I don't believe any one of us want to be caught in some sinful way when the Lord comes back. I think we'd be embarrassed in front of him. We'd be ashamed in front of him. When we see him, knowing him, seeing him as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, just slain for us, died for us. And we may not deny him in our words, maybe in our faith, but our lifestyle can cause us to get away and find ourselves being ashamed of our conduct and being embarrassed and how we've acted and how we lived. You know, we must look into eternity. We must have a vision beyond today, beyond the immediate of this life and this world, and realize that Jesus is coming back any moment, any time, any day now. It's an imminent return. It's a promise that he will keep and he will be here, and we do not want to be ashamed or embarrassed, so we need to abide in him. And that's part of our time with in the scriptures. That's part of being obedient to him and following his commands and serving him. And can we all do it in a perfect way? No, I don't think so, but we strive and we become better at it, more diligent at it as we draw closer to him. You know, I don't want to find myself one day in a place of sin or an activity of sin or even speaking of ungodly things, and all of a sudden the Lord appears and I'm standing before him. How ashamed I will be. If you recall when Peter followed Christ to the trial, how he promised him he would not deny him. But when he got into the world and the pressure, the peer pressure there, he became embarrassed of him, became ashamed of him, and denied him three times. And at that point, after the cock crew, Jesus turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter saw his gaze, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. We don't want to be a people found like that. Jesus comes back. If you have a concern about your salvation and where you'll be when you die one day, we want to help you with that. We want to show you the way and how you can know Christ your Savior. If you'd like for us to talk to you, you can give us a call at 724-439-2519. Leave a message. The number is 724-439-2519.